you know that I focus on the positive always. And even though this title might not seem positive, it's empowering to call things what they are and make a plan to proceed in the best possible way. Rather than getting mad about the way things are, we have to recognize what we can control and what is out of our control and make a plan based on that. This is not just about avoiding disease and living as long as possible. It's that, but it's also how to have more energy and strength now as we age, how to feel sharp and how to feel healthy. I don't think it's even controversial anymore to say that the traditional healthcare system is not set up to keep us healthy and prevent disease. It's set up to treat symptoms rather than the cause and leans heavily on medication rather than considering lifestyle and natural options first. I am all for medications and treatments when needed. I just think it's not a great system when there is so much money in treating illnesses and there isn't a lot of money in getting people healthy or finding cures. Today, we're looking at the health landscape as it is now and making the best plan for us and our families. Let's go.
You're listening to the How to Be Awesome at Everything podcast, where we're obsessed with life hacks that make your life more awesome. Your host, Lindsay Dighout, is an entrepreneur and business owner, a mom and wife, and someone who wants to do things over the top at all times. This concept started as a collection of things Lindsay has learned that she was documenting to give to her kids one day, and now it's a podcast. Join us on this journey where we talk about how to be awesome at everything we do. Here's Lindsay.
This is one of those topics that I think some people are much more aware of than other people, simply because we've been in situations more where we see it and we experience it. It's not an intellect thing or some people, you know, being smarter or more worldly or more aware than other people. It's just simply time spent in environments where you see how things are going in the traditional healthcare system. So for me, in the last 15 years, I have spent so much time in hospitals and in doctor's offices talking to very smart doctors and professors. And I think I have a unique perspective, probably because I bet you I've spent 10 times, 100 times more time in hospitals and doctor's offices, more than the average person. You probably know my husband, Craig, has advanced heart disease that we discovered 15 years ago. He's had lots of procedures and different things go on. And then more recently, I helped care for my father who passed quickly from stage 4 lung cancer. And then we've had other health hurdles. So I've spent a lot of time in hospitals and I want to share my perspective. And it's a perspective that I really don't think is controversial anymore, especially when we see now having time to step back after COVID and being able to see that, like, wait a minute, I'm not sure these big drug companies genuinely have our best interest in mind, especially when you see that every news station is sponsored by Pfizer, top football players are sponsored by Pfizer and are trying to, you know, use these people with influence to influence our decisions, then it's very clear that it's our best interest and our actual health is not the top priority. Making money is the top priority. And that does not lead to a healthcare system that gives the best possible care for people, right? It just doesn't. When there's so much money to be made and that's their driver, there's so much more money in treating sicknesses rather than finding cures or rather than helping people address the root of the problem and live the healthiest possible lifestyle. There's just not money in it like there is medicating someone for the rest of their life. I think that a lot of us kind of saw this happening. And I think through COVID and through, you know, different things that we saw that people being dishonest and different things coming out, I think a lot more people are like, wait a minute, I'm not sure that the entire healthcare system is set up in a way that really is going to take care of myself and my family. So that is my goal in this episode, not to be negative or be doomsday or anything like that. It's just to be realistic and have a really good frame of mind when it comes to your family's health, the most important thing on earth. I'm going to go through this new outlook that I think we are all going to adapt when it comes to our health. It involves shifting from sick care, which is the healthcare system now, to well care, right? Focusing on health while we are well, not once we get sick, and shifting from reactive medicine to proactive medicine. I think that's what the core of this is about, is focusing on our health before or to prevent us from getting sick. I study so many books on health and longevity. One of my favorite ones is Lifespan by David Sinclair. And he has this really cool concept in this book about aging. And basically what he says is aging is a disease, and the only way for it to get funding is for the modern medical system to accept that aging is not inevitable. It's actually a disease in order to get funding. So he says, defining aging as a disease is important because in our modern medical system, it is diseases that get funding. And without funding, the long-term research needed to understand aging and increase our longevity will not happen. So what he's saying is we need the money to figure out more tools. We need the money for research so that we can figure out aging. He says that aging will be treatable. Getting older is not inevitable, but it's a disease that affects us all. In fact, his book is called Lifespan: Why We Age and Why We Don't Have to. It is such a fascinating read, and it's really interesting because it's really like a TBD, like a to be continued book, because we just need more research into molecules that activate longevity pathways. We need more information and more funding to treat aging. I just thought that information was just so valuable, and it really changes the way we think about things. And I think that there's so much of this that we can do on our own to, quote, treat aging. I think one of the most popular books, especially lately on longevity and health span, is the book Outlive by Peter Attia. He defines longevity as the length of a person's life, and health span is the length of a person's healthy, functional life. So in his book Outlive, Attia really emphasizes the importance of extending health span, the length of a person's healthy functioning life, rather than just simply increasing lifespan, which is the length of a person's life. So he really thoroughly makes the distinction between longevity and health span and how we should look at them differently. So those books I think are really interesting in this topic: Outlive, Lifespan, and another one I really like is Superhuman by Dave Asprey. His is a little bit more edgy and talks about like how getting older no longer means a decline in your body's function. In fact, it's possible to reverse the signs of aging and become what he considers superhuman. All these books talk about the four killers, the four diseases that are the most deadly: heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and cancer. And Dave Asprey talks about how your daily habits and your genetics can lead to one of these. He says that all four are produced by damage to your cells, which have accumulated over your lifetime. I love reading and from these very smart people and doctors. There's also a new book by Tony Robbins called Life Force. Tony Robbins and a few other authors explain new technologies like gene therapy, stem cells, and hormone replacement therapy to give the audience kind of knowledge and hope about the future. Robbins talks about how heart disease and other chronic illnesses can be reversed by optimizing four factors. Here they are: how you eat, how active you are, how you respond to stress, and how much emotional support you receive. This book is interesting because it talks about the same things that we are talking about, having this new outlook on managing our health care, thinking of thinking of it not really focusing on health once we get sick, but thinking about it proactively rather than reactively. In this book, they also talk about how much control we have, how we have so much control of our health and our heart health through all the things we talk about all the time on this podcast: exercise, eating the right foods, quality sleep, building muscle, reducing stress. They also talk about how good health is the foundation of quality of life. I thought that was really, really simple but powerful. And in this whole concept of having good health, thinking of it as the foundation, right? It's like how the old saying goes, a healthy person has 1,000 wishes. A sick person only has one: to feel not sick and to feel healthy. Such a powerful reminder to the most important commitment we can make, and that is the commitment to our health. I wanted to frame this podcast in this way because I have really realized that by recognizing it as a fact that the healthcare system is broken and it is not set up to function well and support people, poor people's health and even their care when they become sick, it's empowering because we're not relying on them, on the healthcare system, on busy doctors to be the quarterback of our health. We know the system is flawed, so we are the quarterback. We need to focus on all the things that we can do proactively to be as healthy as possible. And then if we become sick or we're diagnosed with something or someone that we love, we know that it's game time. We need to be the quarterback. We need to get lots of opinions. We need to ask lots of questions, and we cannot just accept what we are told. I learned going through the insanely painful and sad process of my dad's battle with cancer that it is so important when something like cancer is found or other diseases, things happen fast. Things develop rapidly, and you can't just do what you're told. You can't just say, okay, when they say we're going to do this test and I'll see you back in 2 weeks. Like, you might not have that 2 weeks, not saying in a, you know, dramatic way, like you're not going to make it 2 weeks, but I'm just saying like in 2 weeks, this thing could become so much worse, whether it's like a short-term illness or whether it's something bigger like cancer. I think that I've really learned that even though most doctors have all the best intentions and they're doing the best they can with the situation and what they think at the time, the reality is most doctors are a part of the healthcare system. Like they're in it. They're in the club, and they think the same way and they operate the same way, and they have lots and lots of patients. Oftentimes, it's difficult for them to sit with each person. It's just not set up that way, to sit with you and ask you for 1 hour questions like, how is your stress? How is your quality of sleep? Do you have broken sleep? What are your sleep habits? How much are you moving? Do you feel strong? Do you feel flexible? Do you have grief or trauma or deep stress or deep pain in your life? Like, all these really important health questions are very rarely asked. Instead, it's usually a kind of quick firing of the same typical questions and then a prescription, a medication, oftentimes which is designed to treat the symptom, not actually start at the beginning and see if we can treat the cause of it. I found it to be so empowering to trust doctors and be grateful for their perspective, but not take it as gold. Know that a different doctor may have a different set of experiences, may have a different set of different patients that have experienced different things. So they might have a different outlook. I've also learned that if you aren't pushy, you might get stuck in this thing where it's like, here's a test, wait 2 weeks. Here's a test, wait 2 weeks. And whatever's going on can just get so much worse. What I've learned is by asking lots of questions. If it's really important, by showing up, talk to the people at the front desk, talk to nurses, ask questions, ask what other people have done, get online and do research and talk to people who have been in the same situation that you're in and figure out ways around it. I think one other really difficult problem with the healthcare system is how long it can take to get appointments with different specialists. Sometimes whatever's going on could be so much worse in the month that it takes you to get in with a specialist. This is one of the things that I think is a special skill set of mine, is figuring out a way to yes. And I've had to do this so many times in helping and being a quarterback for my family's health, is getting to yes. So, for example, if I need to get in with a specialist and they tell me that they're booked out for 3 months, I take the appointment in 3 months and then I set an alarm on my phone every single day at 9:30 a.m. because I've learned that around that time is usually when the office has had any cancellations for the day, or any cancellations for days coming up. Usually that's kind of when it happens. They call to do their confirmations, or people call and say, I'm sick, I can't make it tomorrow, whatever it is. Set an alarm and call the office every single day. Don't think because they said they're putting you on a waiting list that that person even ever looks at the waiting list again. We're all human and we're busy and we have our own lives going on. So to think that I'm just going to sit back and hope they call me on the waiting list is crazy. The much better way to do it is to be so annoying that they get you an appointment. I know it sounds wild, but you know how when someone is so persistent, you help them for two reasons. One, you're like, man, they really want this. They really need this appointment. I'm going to help them out because they can tell how bad you want it. And number two, it's the squeaky wheel. They're like, oh my God, get off my back. This person calls every damn day. Give them an appointment so they stop calling me. Listen, we are happy with either one of those. It doesn't matter how we get it, but we've got that appointment. And just by having this shift in attitude to where you are the quarterback, you're not going to trust the system. You're not going to trust that you're going to get a call back. You're not going to trust that the waiting list is going to pop up for you. You're going to be proactive and you're going to call every single day until they have an opening for you. And it works every time. Not one time have I ever had to wait that 3 months just because it's strategic. It's strategic for the health and well-being of you or your family member. There is always a way to yes. Figure out a different strategy. Do what other people aren't doing. Figure out a way. So that's one of the ways that I think the healthcare system is so flawed, is the way it takes so long to get to the people that we need to see. And sometimes we just don't have the luxury of having that time. So the summary of that is you must become the CEO of your health. You have to think of yourself as the CEO, not think of your primary care doctor in charge. You are in charge. They have hundreds of patients. You have one, yourself. You need to be the CEO. You need to keep your records organized. You need to ask the questions. You need to be persistent, and you need to get others' other opinions. I think that this is how we keep our energy and our vitality and our good quality of life, you know? And this is a role we should take seriously, not just like, you know, following a couple, you know, people online who talk about health. Like, this is in the weeds. Get in there, do the research, learn the things you want to learn. If you're super into it, these four books that I mentioned, I think are a great place to start. I like them. All four of these, I like hardcover books because they're very much like highlight, refer back to. They're really good books to, you know, if you want to jump to different parts, depending on what you are dealing with or depending on what's the most interesting to you, if you want to learn about different biohacking strategies or things like that. So I like the hardcover for all those books, but the whole thing is you must continually challenge the status quo and find what's best for you. Really shifting focus of not relying that the healthcare system is going to take care of you, but know that you are the CEO, you are the quarterback, you are in charge, you're going to question authority, you're going to get lots of opinions, and we aren't going to wait just because we're told that that's how it goes. Like, that doesn't have to go. That doesn't have to be how it goes for you. I think that there are so many things that we can do for ourselves, for our own longevity, and for our own health span, which is fantastic. But when we do need doctors and specialists, and when we have to have procedures or surgeries, we need to really be advocates for our own health. And also, we have so much access. I always say we live in the greatest time ever to be alive, because say you have to have a surgery done, there is so much you can learn online. I would these days legitimately spend 10 hours, not like 30 minutes, like 10 hours online researching. Okay, what is it like? What's the recovery like? What are the questions we should ask? What's the downtime? What are side effects? What are some negative outcomes people have had? That way you're going into it fully educated as the CEO of your own health. You're asking the right questions, and you're just more likely to have a positive result when you take on this persona. You know, I'm telling you, there's nothing more important. And I think that realizing that we have to be in control of it on our own, it's just empowering. You know, it's how I always say, you know, if you have one blamed finger pointing back at someone else, you have four pointing back at you. I just think that it's so much more empowering to just take control and not blame anybody, not have this negative outlook on healthcare, more of this empowering outlook. Like, listen, I'm in control of my own health. I know that today's health landscape is not ideal, and it's not set up to get people to keep people healthy. And to get people healthy, they make money by treating diseases. And that isn't always the best. That doesn't always turn out the best for us, the patients and the people. So when we are thinking about how do we have more energy and strength now and as we age, I think it's really important to constantly be educating. And if you are not a reader, audiobooks are so great. I know a lot of people who are like, I have a busy job. I have little kids. I'm exhausted. I have no time to sit and read a big book. Then listen, do the audiobooks, or you can even just go on YouTube. And when you're cooking or cleaning, type in any of these authors and just listen to interviews they have on YouTube. I'm telling you, it's the best. My favorite are Peter Attia, David Sinclair, Dave Esprey, and now with the newest health book that Tony Robbins did. Search those guys and just listen to interviews. You can learn so much about understanding your lifestyle choices and how they can help you increase your production and your efficiency, you know, like all the things, proper diet and exercise and supplement and therapies. You can listen to all the options and figure out what works for you, and not just accept aging as this thing that must happen to us. But like I said, as David Sinclair says, aging will be treatable. Getting older is not inevitable. It is a disease. And hopefully we are not that far away from the medical system recognizing it as a disease, because then it will get funding, and then we will have the research that we need to really understand aging and how to treat and even prevent this disease. So interesting. And I think there's so much more, and I'll definitely do more podcasts about biohacking and how we can optimize human performance and our health and our well-being. Biohacking is the term that's derived from biology and hacking. So it's kind of like implying scientific and technological tools to hack the body's biological systems. I think there's so much interesting information about biohacking. I have like over 20 superhuman biohacking habits and strategies that I love, that I live by, that I have printed out, that I will share soon. Let me know, ping me on Instagram if you are interested in that, because I think that's a whole nother conversation that I think is just so interesting about how we can be proactive about our health, how we can avoid disease and really feel our best in the way that we move, in the way that we eat, in the way that we recover, all the things. I hope this episode was inspiring and really shifted your focus to understanding that We cannot rely on the healthcare system as it is now. We need to rely on ourselves as the CEOs and quarterbacks of our own health. We need to take control. We need to ask the questions. We need to be pushy when we have to be, because there's nothing more important than our health. And when we shift our mind to this proactive approach instead of reactive approach, it changes the entire game in the way you think about your health and you think about longevity and aging and how you are going to take care of your body. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Ping me on Instagram at Lindsay's Cloud. You can also see all the things we are doing at howtobeawesomeateverything.com. There's a really cool search on the website where you can search any word and it pulls up any podcast episode, any blog that I've done on that topic. I've had lots of people recently ping me that that's been really helpful when they wanted to go back or find something that they remember me talking about. So use that little search on our website. It can be very helpful. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you soon and have an awesome day.
Thanks for listening to the How to Be Awesome at Everything podcast. For more info about today's episode and all past episodes, head over to howtobeawesomeateverything.com, where we break it all down. Tell us what you thought of today's topic on Lindsay's Instagram at Lindsay's Cloud. Until next time, go out and be awesome, because that's exactly what you are.